Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
All right, can we just wave our hands to the Father and bless His name? Just glorify God and thank Him. Don't mind if your neighbors see you undignified. Give God praise. Just bless His name. It's the first Sunday of the year. Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful. We are grateful. With a grateful heart, we lift our voice to You. Proclaim, Lord, You reign. With a grateful heart, we lift our voice to You. Proclaim, Lord, You reign. Great are You, Lord, and greatly to be praised, greatly to be praised. Father, You reign. Great are You, Lord, and greatly to be praised, and greatly to be praised. Father, sing great, great,
Lord, great to be praised, great to be praised.
Father, You reign.
Father, You reign.
Great
are You, Lord. So greatly to be praised. Father, You reign.
Father, You reign.
Great are You, Lord. Greatly to be praised. Greatly to be praised. Father, You reign.
Great are You, Lord. The heavens is open over here. Lift your voices.
Great are You, Lord. Great are You, Lord.
I can see the heavens open over us. Raise your hands.
Great are You, Lord.
Great are You, Lord. Lord of all, let your hands be up, everyone. Lift your hands. Great are You, Lord.
Great are You, Lord.
Great are You, Lord of all.
Great are You,
are You, Lord. Great are You, Lord.
Great are You, Lord. Great are You. greatly to be praised.
Great are you, Lord.
Great and greatly to be praised.
Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord.
While I was about to come off stage, I think because of what the Lord wants to share, a song began to raise in my heart. It says, when the oceans rise and thunders roll, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the floor. I will be still, know you our God. I will be still, know you. When the oceans rise, when the oceans rise
and troubles roll,
I will soar with you,
I will soar with you
above
the storm.
Father, you are king.
Father, you are king over the flow.
I will be still.
I will be still. Oh, know you are God.
I will be still.
I will be still and know you are God.
The first stanza of the song says, hide me now, O Lord, under your wing. Cover me within your mighty hands,
within your mighty.
When the ocean,
when the oceans rise and thunders roar,
I will soar with you
above the storm.
Father, you are king.
Father, you are king over the Lord.
I will be still.
I will be still.
Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone. Know His power and quietness and trust. When the oceans rise and thunders roll, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over every situation. I will be still, know you. I will be still.
I will be still and know you, our God.
Hallelujah. Let's be seated. Amen. Can we turn to our neighbors left and right and welcome them to church? Turn to your left, right, welcome someone to church. And ask how their New Year experience has been. Be kind, ask your neighbor that. Some of you are so static in a New Year, you are not even turning to your neighbors. Ask your neighbors, how has been your New Year experience? You know, they ask that man, how has been your New Year experience? That's that young man there, Kira's younger brother. That is a name that is very long. Zedekiah. Mosiah. Mosiah has been your New Year experience. You know, you just did like this. Has it been nice? All right. I hope you are all having a nice experience yet. I hope you are all having a nice experience yet. Especially me. Glory to glory. Yeah, you need to get alive in this church if you want the world to be alive. Shout glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I talk today is time for flight. I mean, that rejoicing is so fake. So fake. Never seen a fake rejoicing like that. I say it's time for flight. Rejoice. Listen. This year, if you are just too cool around me, you have to be sharp. Are you listening? You have to use your muscles and shout for God. Shout glory. Let all the doubts go away, right? Amen. Yes, we are not mad. Every other name fade away, till there's only you. Let every other name fade. Poverty, lack, addiction, any form of sin fade away. And only who remains? Jesus Christ. The Bible said the word of God endures forever. And every other situation, Paul calls it a light affliction that is but for a moment, working for us an eternal weight of what? God's glory. Are we together? Yes, sir. So it's time for flight. Yes, sir. It's time for flight. Yes, sir. It's time to take off. And when I say flight, I don't mean just jump up and start flying. No plane just jumps up from the spot and begins to fly. On the plane, it begins to move straight on the ground first with a fair percentage of speed before it what takes off. I want all of you to begin to make a move already in 2026. Before you take a flight, you have to take off physically. Start moving. Tell somebody, start moving. It's time. What? Progress. Let 2026 not happen to you like 2025 happened to you. You should happen to 2026. Say, I'm going to happen to this year. You know, if they say, how was last year? You see people saying, last year was bad. It was terrible. I suffered a lot. A lot. I went through a lot. You know, I had a comedy one time. Somebody met another person and said, brother, I'm going through a lot. Would you please help me with some money? And the brother said, a lot is going through me. I'm the one that needs the real help. You know, some people are like, 2025 was terrible, blah, blah, blah. But that's not how it's going to be in 2026. You're going to be great and powerful and strong and do exploits. You will not talk about what 2026 did to you. You talk about what you did to 2026. At the end, in the name of Jesus. You know, at the beginning of 2025, you thought it was a long period of time. Now it has finished. Huh? And some of you are yet to execute some things that the Lord laid in your heart. We are just in 4th of January. And you think you have a long way to go until it's your birthday yet. At April, probably. And we're counting a few months to the end of the year. And it will shock you that at the end of the year, you will still be wondering when to execute that idea that God has put in your head. But say this year, that's not going to happen to me. In the name of Jesus, I shall be on top. Never be net. In the name of Jesus. I started by looking at the part of scripture in Joshua 1:8 that says, the book of the law shall not what? Depart from your heart, Can we read together? Mia. It says, the book of the law shall not depart from your heart, from your mouth, from your heart and your mouth you shall meditate to day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. I wanted to see it from the screen so that I will show you the revelation there, the pointer to the revelation. It says, a book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall what? Meditate in it day and night. That means meditation probably according to the person that wrote this part of scripture, how they saw meditation, and of course how meditation is supposed to be from the origin, involves your mouth and your heart. Alright, it said the book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but meditate. So meditation was probably, I am the righteousness of God. Those days, I'm the righteousness of God. Thank you, Lord, I'm the righteousness of God. I gave you an instance one time. Be thinking something different. Whatever is in your heart, start thinking something. Execute the thinking process in your heart now. Start thinking something. Think. Keep on thinking. Think about the things you went through last year that made you cry. Think. Remember them for a moment. Not because you'll be there. Just remember them. Say, I'm full of life. Say, I'm full of life again. Were you able to keep on thinking? Were you able to keep on thinking those rubbish when you said this thing? Immediately you said this, that thinking process just cut short. You see that? How to stop wrong thinking is by speaking rightly. Are we together? It's part of meditation. As you begin to talk the right things, the right words will now get into your heart. And it will alter that wrong thinking process in your heart. It will remove the wrong thoughts away. And now what you are saying is what you begin to think and what you see in your life. But this is the point. The book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do. Somebody say do. Shall do. That's it. Meaning, if you don't do anything, it's a waste of revelation and meditation and prayer. You have to execute whatsoever you are thinking by action. Are you listening to me? Don't just be thinking it. I'm meditating. You got to do it. It was Miles Monroe of blessed memory that says, the graveyard is the richest place upon the face of the earth. It says, if you go there, lying there, people, a lot of dreams that were never manifested, and etc. A lot of visions that were never executed. The place where you see the worst regret is people on their deathbed. When they know they're about to leave the earth, they begin to regret the things they would have done. You know, I wish I did this, I wish. You know, a young pastor wanted to die. He was almost dying. And he called his son. He said, do you know what I regret? Not doing all the things God laid in my heart. I wish I did all of them. I wish I did everything. He said, young man, don't make the same mistake. I'm not going to hell, but I wish I did even more than what I did before leaving the earth. And that's for ministry. Not everybody is called into full-time ministry, isn't it? And that doesn't mean you will not win souls, isn't it? But whatever God has put, you know, whatever God puts in your heart, has put in your heart as a vision, if you truly execute it with a kingdom consciousness, you will still win souls. If you're in a hospital, God can use it to win souls. If you're a good doctor, if you're a good engineer, your excellence can make people come to Jesus. It can still be a form of what? Evangelism. There's a time I was teaching about a higher realm of evangelism that I called it deep sea farming, right? Fishing, sorry. Deep sea fishing. I said, if you want to catch fishes, just one and the rest, you use hook, alright? And if you want quite a fair number of fishes, you can now use net, right? That's now higher. Do you know, recently technology has it that people can just carry some kind of ships and enter under the water and just go and pack fish and come out. Somebody that has that kind of machine and somebody that has hook, who will make more progress? That machine. You know what I'm trying to say is that when you are excellent like Daniel and Joseph, when you are working on yourself, when you make up your mind to want to actualize the reality of God's word in your heart, what happens is that God takes you to positions that will make it very easy for him to take over people, a lot of people. And it's bigger than the regular evangelism. I tell you, even though the regular evangelism is very important. You see, we go to the street like we did yesterday, some of the leaders, and we won souls, isn't it? And it's nice. Do you know, you can be excellent. God will take you to high positions of life and influence. That you can tell people, let's go to church on Sunday. They'll follow you. I don't know if whether you get what I'm trying to explain to you. You are so influential, people look up to you as a standard because your testimony of life is something that ministers both to the spiritual people and carnal people. Everyone wants to be a successful doctor. And here is a young man at the middle 30s, so successful as a doctor. There is no oppression he has ever conducted that was not successful. And it's more like a standard. People are looking at him as a standard, a beacon of hope. If they want their child or their mother or father to survive, they look for Dr. So-so and so. And everybody likes Dr. So-so and so. Couple with the fact that he's kind and gentle, not hyper-spiritual. You know that you cannot win souls by being just into yourself, saying God is so much in you. Then you don't greet people. You are working in the hospital because you are an apostolic doctor. They say, how are you? Sir? Bless you. You can't win souls like that. Bless you. Bless you. You are praying in tongues and you don't reply greeting. How are you? No. God has no problem if you stop that tongues and reply greetings. Because he says, let a friend be what? Friendly. When people are friendly to you, reciprocate it. Are we together? Is in his word. It is in his word. So couple with the fact that you are nice and all that, you will win more people because all the nurses, all the doctors that are growing up, all the workers will love you. What a nice doctor. Excellent doctor. You tell somebody strategy. Because if God is tired of you collecting 1 million, and it's like, this guy, with what he has, look at what he's doing for me. 1 million. And because of how careful you are, you don't want to lose your job. When wrong things are happening, you keep quiet. When evil things are happening, you keep quiet. You be a good Christian. And you are just restricting yourself from things that will cause you to lose your job. And God is saying, if I allow this young man, he will be here for 10 years. But there's this job I want him to have, where he'll be earning 5 million to 10 million. Because if he can do this for me with 1 million, what of 10 million? And you'll be so surprised that with all your prayer life, you know, you are so prayerful and spiritual, you still lost the job. Are you catching something this morning? And you are wondering, God, why me? At the end of the year, at this point that I really needed the job, I mean, there's a very troubling issue in your home that you really needed money and you lost your job. Tell somebody strategy. A strategy. Because the Bible said there's no temptation that has come to you beyond your ability to overcome. God has seen that there's something inside of you that is so big. The light in you is bigger than this level of experience that you have yet. And he wants to take you to a higher phase of experience according to the light on your inside. You know, Paul calls it the test of light. It said, because of the abundance of light given unto me, Satan put an infirmity on me. Satan created a situation around him. If you remember Matthew 13, the Bible said the trials and the tribulation came because of the word in us. You see that? Satan brings all of those trials because of what? The word of God in us. He wants to steal the word of God. And sometimes when it seems as if Satan has prevailed, he did not prevail. The Bible said, he said in the days of Jesus that if I had known, I would have not what? Crucified. In 1 Corinthians 2, he said, if I had known. Satan is still foolish. When it comes to Jesus or a people like Jesus, he's always foolish. Because there's a wisdom that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Wisdom that's not entered into the heart of men that is working on our inside. The same wisdom that worked on the inside of Jesus that made Satan foolish, even though he thought he has done his best. The same way that wisdom is working on our inside. And he will still again on your head say, I am foolish again. Like I was foolish in the days of Jesus. Because just when he thought that he has brought you down, God is taking you to a higher height of glory. Now, if God did not allow you to lose that job through those people, you would have not seen the new job. But now that you lost the job, you say, okay, fine. He knows you'll not be happy for a while. He knows. He knows. But after you dust yourself, you now went on the internet and applied. And suddenly, You saw a job. You know, some people don't even think they qualify for a job of a million. When last did you apply for a job of a million naira? It's true. I know what I'm telling you. Most people seated here, when they see a million naira, they just shift. They are looking for 150. No. I don't think I can. I don't have what it takes. And if you look at the requirement, it is the same thing you have that they are requiring. But you just think it's for some people. There are some people meant for this. Not my kind of person. Say I'm meant for it in the name of Jesus. You are qualified in the beloved. You have passed the test in the beloved. You know, you have steeds because you are in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? You smell Ajebo. You are Ajebo. Don't just leave that thing in the spirit. Bring it in the physical. That's why when you truly understand your place in Christ, a low self-esteem, it dies immediately. You can't be in the public and be cracking bones and be squeezing them like you want to start a poultry business. Because you see, you now have the word of God in your spirit. It's alive in your soul. You now have steeds. Not this unnecessary lie steeds that some girls have. I'm talking about real steeds in the Holy Ghost. You know what I'm talking about? Those lies they have. You met girls that lie a lot, isn't it? Not that kind of steeds. Claiming what they are not. Snapping with people's car and posting on Instagram. You know, one time I was in Kefi. I was driving with Oche to Abuja. And he was sick. Like he always used to be sick in 2025. And somebody that was driving me became sick. So I started driving him. And all I wanted to do is to take him to his mother. When we got to Abuja, instead of following me, I just said, go home and meet your mom. Let her take care of you. I will do the thing myself. I wanted to go and get a car years ago. So when we got to the mechanic, because the car we used was not so good. All right. But I just wanted to use a car because it would be more comfortable. So we just drove the car like that. And when we got to a mechanic, because the exhaust was having issues, we wanted to just patch it. I was the one at the front with the mechanic. He was sitting and resting because he was not feeling so strong. So while the mechanic was working on the car, I'm telling you the truth. You know, imagine now I'm a mechanic with Oche. I bought him this, I bought him that, and I kept him like a baby somewhere. I am the one now moving, trying to... I think I bought him milk, if I can remember, something like that. Just gave him so that he can survive till he meets his mom. And I'm sure the mom already has been dealing with this. You know what to just give him immediately. And I saw these two ladies while they were fixing the car. They said, snap, 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 snap. They come. They say no. I said, snap, 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 snap. I said, go, snap me too. They were trying to just snap on the car. And the man just came, they just started running. I started laughing. What kind of unnecessary pressure is this? Now, not that kind of thing. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? There are some ladies under pressure because they went to visited Instagram and saw their friends. They saw their friends in one kind of house. They know that's not their friend's house. They know their friend's family house. See, maybe Jacinta be that. Say, thank God, we're balling by grace. Don't be putting grace in those things. And you see, their hearts just guess, they just feel annoyed with themselves, like, God, you're not trying. Look at Jacinta. Look at her. Maybe Jacinta be this. Look at the hair, it's reaching here. It's reaching here. God, how did she get this money? Now, not those kind of unnecessary steeds. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? I'm talking about real steeds in the Holy Ghost. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That kind of Daniel steeds. That there was a problem and the king was going to do something nasty. And Daniel said, oh king, give me one night. Then he entered into the place of prayer. When Daniel woke up the next morning, he woke up with solution for the king. Can you remember that part of scripture? He woke up with solution for the king. King, this is what you are looking for. Give us one. Let's download this thing. There was no answer. There was no answer. All the wicked, the babalawos in town could not give an answer. Daniel said, let me pray. Tell somebody that's real this. When you really have the word of God on your inside. You know, that's how eagles behave. One of the advantages, one of the uniqueness of an eagle is that it has foresight. It can see far. You know, while studying about an eagle, I found that you see this green snake under green grass that you have heard about, and some of you would have seen or experienced. I remember one time in BSU, someone ran away from the. I was just standing with the guy here. Jesus Christ! I said, "What is that?" I said, "See snake." I couldn't see the snake. He said, "Ah, it's green snake in a green grass." That snake they call green. I couldn't see it because the grass was actually green. But he ran away. Do you know an eagle can see green snake under green grass? That's how powerful the sight of an eagle is. It has foresight. There are names I would have mentioned, but I cannot remember. That are part of the structure of the eyes of an eagle. It has foresight. It can see very far. And not just, it is very clear from where it is. Distant kilometers, it will see. It will be so clear like the thing is here with it. That's why out of all the birds and animals, you know, God created all of these animals. He knows what he did. It's not a coincidence that he used eagle to describe the believer. He did not say they that wait upon the Lord shall be like those. He said they. He did not say they that wait upon the Lord shall be like turkey. He did not say they that wait upon the Lord. I mean, these things are birds. He did not say they that wait upon the Lord shall be like agwagwa. He did not say those that wait upon the Lord shall be like sweet, sweet. It did not say those that wait upon the Lord shall be like. You know, you can name all the. There are many birds. The one we did for Christmas, a Greek chicken. He didn't say that. I mean, imagine that he said those that wait upon the Lord shall be like chickens, a Greek chickens growing at the backyard of a house. We will die before that waiting finish. You know, one of the worst birds I've ever known in my life or seen is this one they call duck fowl. But I'm not happy when I call it that name. I grew up knowing it as agwagwa. It's so funny. A bird. It's a bird. It's in the category. I mean, if they have meeting of birds, agwagwa used to come. They send their representative. They will come with eagles and the rest. They'll be doing meeting. Imagine agwagwa talk in that meeting. Everything they say, agwagwa will say, "Yes, sir." You know why I had a problem? I killed so many in the barracks. Not with the intention of killing them. You see the way we stone local chicken and they just keep on running. You stone agwagwa just small. Let me just play with this thing. And as you just hit it, it will just fall like it's trying to rest. When you come later, you'll be hearing, "Okay, my agwagwa, okay, my God. All of us will just run away. But we did not mean, we can't even agree with where the one that killed that thing. We'll be like something else killed this thing. It was just waiting for our stone to die. But it was actually that stone. The Bible did not say they that wait upon the Lord shall be like agwagwa. It said they that wait upon the Lord shall be like what? Eagles. So what is the first uniqueness, like I mentioned? Foresight. And now let's bring it into our waiting. Is not just sitting down saying, "Lord, I didn't wait for you, do something in 2026, Holy Spirit, I'm waiting for you, blah blah blah." What does waiting entail compared to the eagle that, like God said in scripture in Isaiah? Revelation, foresight equals foresight. God has given us revelation to see far. Paul said the things which are not seen are more real than the things which are seen. He has given us vision by revelation. Close your eyes, everyone, for 1 minute. I'm not going to do anything to you. Now, see Prophet Simon in his aircraft traveling to Johannesburg for a conference. Some of you don't want to see it. You are haters. See it. If you saw it, say amen. Amen. Did you see what I'm saying?
Yes,
if you didn't see, you have a problem. We're wishing people well. If you saw that, even though physically you cannot see it, what is that? Vision. That's what happens when you read the word of God. It paints pictures in your heart. It paints pictures in your heart. And these pictures are not just some fairy tales. They are your reality. In fact, the Bible calls the word of God a mirror. Are you listening? In 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, it calls the word of God a mirror. Meaning when you look at the word of God, see the true identity of yourself. The real you is who the word of God says that you are. Anything outside the word is not you, is fake, is counterfeit. Say, "I'm who God says that I am." Shout it, say, "I'm who God says that I am." Foresight, one of the uniqueness of an eagle. Now, waiting entails meditating on the revelation of God's word. Say, they that wait upon the Lord shall be like eagles, shall mount up wings as eagles. In other words, the kind of waiting God is talking about here, if you are intelligent, it means look at an eagle. How do they wait before they take a flight? Compare it to the waiting of a Christian. God wants you to see waiting in that aspect. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Of an eagle's waiting. Because there's no reason for him to say that they shall mount up wings as eagles if they were not waiting like eagles. So we have to check and look at eagles. How do eagles wait? Eagles don't wait on the ground. They go to the mountaintop. That's where they even give birth to them. From the day we became born again, we didn't start existing from down. We started existing from up. We are born of the Spirit. Our identity started from the throne, the top. But you know, if you look at the Bible in the book of Deuteronomy, oh my goodness, did I miss that scripture? The Bible speaks about, now, please media, look for that scripture for me, how that a mother eagle carries her chicks. Is it chicks they call them? Or children eagles? Eaglets. Are you people sure? Because this message is going far. It's better I call it the children of the eagle. Before you deceive me to say eaglet now, it's not true. Are you sure it's eaglet? How she carries her eaglet. It's so unique. Look for that scripture for me. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. It's wonderful because sometimes you think because you are born again, everything is figured out immediately. It's not true. Everything is not figured out immediately. Are you all listening to me? Now let me show you a scripture, for instance, Colossians 3 from verse 8. Okay, we've seen it, right? Let's read together. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wing, taking them up, carrying them on its wing. See, the mother eagle is carrying her what? Her children. The eaglets. I don't know why I feel like this eaglet may not be true. Are we together? Amen. Carrying her children or her eaglets, like the church people said. Who said that? Okay, let me mention the name in this message. Kira, like Kira said. Are we together? So they are eagles, oh, but their full potential is not active yet. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Say, I'm born again. I mean, forget about the sin you have seen. Don't think about any sin. Everybody here, don't think about anything. And please stop operating your phones, right? Stop. You're listening to me. Now, you see, forget about any sin you've done. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Take this time, say, I'm born again.
I'm born again.
I'm God's righteousness. That's what happened to you the day you were born again. The day you said, I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior, you got the nature of God on your inside. Are you listening to me? But you were just like a child. And you needed to be carried by God Almighty. But will this mother eagle carry her children all the days of her life? No, she won't. There has to be a time where she has to release them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? To do things by themselves because they are now what? Mature. And if they are refusing to be mature, imagine one of the eaglets is refusing to fly even though they are grown physically. Will she carry them? They will be too big for her to be carrying and moving. So what will she do? She will allow that eaglet be there until situation hits it and it decides to what? Fly. I don't know how many people are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. Can you understand me? Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? Beautiful. So let's see what I was trying to say. Before we go there, let's see 1 John chapter 2 from verse 1. Just to explain to you how a believer grows. He said, my little children. This is the same man of God, John, Apostle John, who in 1 John 3 and 6, let's see it briefly, and we'll now hit verse 9 and just quote it very, very fast. So let's see verse 6 of 1 John 3, what he has said. All right? Are we together? One to read. Whoever, can we read together, church? One to read. Now he's saying that if you are abiding in God or you have seen or known God, you are not supposed to sin. Even furthermore, verse 9, let's read together. One to read. He's saying that a believer is not supposed to sin. That's John's perspective, and that's actually the perspective of scriptures and God Almighty for a believer. That if you have my nature, he said, whoever is born of God does not sin, for the seed of God remains in that individual, and he cannot sin because of what? He has been born of God. The seed there represents the nature of God. He said, because the nature of God is in every believer, that believer is not supposed to sin. So when, what tribe are you? Mention your tribe. Just say it. One, want to go. Thief, Idoma, Ibibio, and the rest of them. And Igede. I have a problem with Igede people because they are refusing to marry thief people. So, and I said, we're going to carry ourselves and go and do protests in that place, because they say they will not marry thief people, and thief people are liking them very well. There's something wrong somewhere. So Igede people, watch out for this protest. So let me even use Igede people for this example. If you're an Igede person, just wave your hand up. Somehow I want to know all of you so that we'll know the problems. Alright. Wave again, please. TV people, are you watching them? Time them. Get them. Alright. When you were 1 year old, one of the Igede persons were here. I saw one hand. Wait, okay. When you were 1 year old, what tribe were you? Igede. What of when you were 1 day old? 1 second old? Igede forever. Igede yo. You can sit down. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, who is thief, for instance? You are thief, right? What? Idoma. I thought you were thief. So, from the day you were 1 year old, what tribe were you? Did you change tribe? When you were 1 year old, what tribe were you? 1 second old. Now that you are over 20 something, you are Okpani. You are still Okpani. You see that? Same it is for a thief person. You are thief, right? Did you change tribe while you were 13? Now that you are 21 or 22, you are what? 20 what? For the public to know. 20 what? 22. Hallelujah. Are you still thief? Yes, he's still thief. Nothing has changed. So it is for any tribe in the world. You don't change your tribe because you have grown older. You are still your tribe even though you are 1 second old. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Now go back to where we were. 1 John 2 and 1. Let's read. Now, a man is not supposed to be behaving like a woman. But while he's a child, like Ellen Voyen says now, he cries so much from my observation. That's the characteristic of a woman. But when he grows old, if they tell him he cried like this, he will never believe it. Because at that time, he'll be tough. He'll be like, are you okay? Don't talk to me like that, I'm a man. Now, all of you men that have told me, men, don't talk to me like that, you're a woman. You cried like a woman while you were growing up. You're like, wah, wah, wah. You cried, mommy, give me ice cream. Can you believe that you did that? All the men here. I know, you know, you can't relate. You're like, what, me? You did that. And if you are still doing that, there's a problem. You need the hand of God upon your life. Men just go out and survive. Everybody just feels a man should make it. They don't even care how they make it. I mean, you graduated with this brother from the same school. No movement. Focus here. The same school. The same school. The same class. The same year you people graduated, went for NYSC service. He said, I want to marry you. Say, what do you have to marry me? I can't manage that thing you have. Go and make it. I mean, why would you not make it at the same class with this man? There's so much responsibility. In fact, one time I was watching Facebook video and a lady said, rain is not falling today. Men curse it. The sun is shining too bright this morning. Men curse it. There's too much heat in Makurdi right now. Men curse it. Now, this is the point I'm trying to make. Please focus. All right? I feel a little distraction. When Elam grows older, he will never behave like a woman. Why? Because in his DNA, he's a man. He will work hard. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He will work hard. He will do things like a man. He will not cry when they push him and say, no, because he's a man. Have you seen how they ask about, are you a woman? Have you seen questions like that? Why are you doing like this? Are you a woman? We expect women to be more emotional than men. You go to a home, there's trouble, you see people just come to the man. They can't hear the woman. Because as long as they are explained to the woman, she's getting more inspiration to cry. So they go to the man. Akpani, it is well. They can't hear the woman. Because when you near, before you near, so they just, and when they find the man crying, they say, be a man, be a man, be a man. Are you listening to me? When Elam grows, that's what will happen. So let's read together. One, two, read, everyone. Hey, Usher, see, listen, don't be distracted. If I hold you, if I see you touching your phone, I will disgrace you. Last warning. Some of you don't want to grow, I will force you to grow in 2026. If you are in lecture hall, you will be doing like one fly that they pour chicken, they poured water. Because you think degree can, now that you have graduated, where is your job? Only God can lift men. Now that you have graduated, where is the job? You can't be in God's presence and joke. Listen, it's truth. When you are in God's presence, honor the presence. You can't be crying, God, help me. Then you sit in his presence and be touching your phone. Or chewing gum. I've warned you people about gum in this church. When you come to church, die your gum, remove it, hide it. Because you see this camp prophet, he can disgrace people. If I call your name, I will point you. I'll say, stand up. And you know this is not a fight. If you do like you are stubborn, I will say, let the demon go out with you. Are we together? I have to teach you these kind of principles. This is the beginning of the year. Don't waste your year. Are you here tonight? So let's read together. I want to go. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone, we have what? Jesus Christ. Now, as a man, you ought not to behave like a woman. As a Christian, you should not sin. That's a standard. But if you find a young Christian, my little, meaning baby Christians. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Like Elam is crying right now. They are in sin right now. But the standard entails that they don't sin eventually. Their actual realm is not supposed to sin. Are you understanding me tonight? Glory to God forevermore. And somebody's like, Pastor, can anybody live above sin? Yes, you can live above sin. God said you can, so you can. So I can live above sin. In fact, I was interestingly, was it 2 days back, I was reading a part of scripture I wanted to share. Let's see, Colossians 3 from verse 8. I think they even read that scripture in the Now Word this morning. Now, read with me, one to go. But now you yourselves are to put off what? And what? Now give me from verse 7. Let me see something. Give me verse 6. Alright. Come to verse 7. You yourself was. Now let's just read verse 6. So that you understand better. Because of these things, what things? Sins. All forms of sins. Is that the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of what? Disobedience. Because Satan through sin kind of fashioned them as people that will end up in the consequences of not living right. It's not like God wants to put anybody in hell. Are we together? But you see, some people, alright, right now the gospel is free. And of course, the gospel can transform everybody. But you have a choice to accept the gospel or not. To make room for the gospel or not. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And if you refuse, that's what the Bible says. As you hear the word of the Lord, harden not your heart. Because it is possible for you to harden your heart as the word of God is coming. You don't want to listen. You think you are too big for the word. Or you think there's so much enjoyment. You know, years ago, while growing up, there's a saying that says the road to hell is so heavenly. Have you heard that before? Huh? The road to hell is like heaven. you are doing Do-Re-Me, Do-Re-Me. You are enjoying all your life, not realizing that is a road to hell, the road to destruction. That's what I want to use, destruction. And that heaven and hell there does not mean what we, where we go to in eternity. They're just trying to use that to explain either success or destruction. Then they say the road to heaven is kind of helly. It feels like hell. You wake up in the morning, you have to do that thing. You have to read your Bible. You get what I'm trying to say? It's not so sweet like that. It is a read your Bible early this morning by 5 a.m. or watch a new series. Which one will be nicer to do? Huh? A new series. It's nicer. Some ladies can wake up by 4 a.m. to complete that series. 4 a.m. you begin push in there. They are watching a movie. But you see, when you have to do the right things, Satan will look for all the excuses. The spirit of sleep will just come upon you. So let's wake up by 4. You have been sleeping from afternoon. It's 4 a.m. now. Let's pray. As you just wake up, you will wash your eye. Nah, lie. You will take coke. Nah, lie. As long as it's prayer, you are bending. It's a devil. You are in church, you'll be telling you operate your phone. Operate. Phone you'll be operating from 2025. What has it given you? What will it give you at this just 2 hours? What will it not give you? It's a devil. You see, when you are listening to the word of God, it's like warfare. There are a lot of things that will be coming to distract you, like sleep. You see somebody bath in the morning, rub Vaseline, or rub whatever they want to rub, and come and sit in church. They will sit down with their suit or babariga and they'll be like, early in the morning? They've not even eaten, some of them. So it's not like the food is making them sleep. It's a devil. Some will sit in church, their friend, their best friend will tell them, if they observe something, where they happen for this church. They want to gist in church. Who started that gist? Satan. Didn't you realize in scripture that Jesus told Peter, get behind me, Satan? Tell your friend, get behind me, Satan, if they start a gist in church. See what they tell you. See, Agatha. See what they tell you. See her. Now me, prophet, they talk to for this church. Now you. But tell the friend, what? Get behind me, Satan. Let me listen. They are talking to me. Are you listening to me tonight? So don't sleep. Fight it. It's warfare. Yes, that's why we have a lot of mental centers in church. When they are done listening to the word of God, they go back home. They'll just forget everything. Everything. Why? Imagine you are done listening to this kind of message. You go back home instead of praying. Because I told you, when you look at a goat, don't just be eating the meat. That's why I regret that they are not teaching biology in schools again. Why? Say they've replaced it with civic education for our student. You need to understand creation. You will catch a lot of revelation. The Bible said everything God did on the earth in terms of creation is for the purpose that there is nobody that has an excuse not to follow him. If you study creation, you will see God. Even pig can reveal God to you. Pig, young you. Why do you think I eat pig? People say it's so dirty. But I know it's full of oil. Meaning all of the poison the pig would have eaten is neutralized in the system. So pig is one of the most healthiest animals to eat. Because it has a lot of oil to neutralize any deadly thing that's on their inside. I know you don't believe what I'm trying to say. What kind of irony is this? Pig that I used to see. Are you people catching something tonight? Pig is healthier than goat. If you have trained goat before, they can die so easily. If you have trained chicken before, ugly chicken, they can all die in one day. And now I'm trying to use God for instance, telling you how you go home and meditate on the word. Don't just be eating meat, understand these animals. We're going to start our own secondary school. We'll add biology back to the curriculum. Both for arts and science students, they must do it. If you observe a goat in the night, what will you see the goat doing? To be chewing the cord. Have you seen goat before in the night? When people are sleeping by 2 a.m., the eye will now shine like torchlight. You now see it. What is it doing? What was it chewing at that time? Everything the goat is doing in the afternoon is just eating anything. He wants to just store them on his inside. It has how many chambers? 4. It will put it in one, and in the night, you know, it will go from one to the other to the other. And when it chews, they call it chewing the cord. More like he's drawing nutrients from what he has eaten. He just downloaded it on his inside. Now he's removing it to draw the nutrients so that it will work in its body. When you sit in church like this, you are not chewing the cord, though. You are just receiving the word. You will never grow if all you do, all you have as the word, is what you just receive in church and go back home and watch movies. You will never grow. That's why you have problems in the middle of the year. That's why situations will come and knock you to the ground. Because chewing the cord never happens. People don't go back home and meditate. That's why you don't even know the word. That's why you cannot preach the word. So how does prophet know scripture so much like this? Now wow. Now gifts he get. It's a lie. As you stay with the word of God so much, you will remember the power of scripture where you saw that revelation. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? As you stay with it. I remember a story. They said they went to a businessman's office and they saw Concordance Bible, Greek Bible. And the pastor said, "What is Greek Bible doing in your office, sir?" He says, "Am I not a Christian, sir? Am I not a Christian, sir? I think the man is late. Not so long. Is it this? I don't know. Is this Wale Adenuga or something like that?" That they enter his office and they saw Concordance Bible. And he said that's what he does every morning before he continues what he's doing. Studying the word of God. Are you listening to me? Tell somebody, learn to chew the cord. Go back home and meditate on the word. If you want to grow, I was teaching a young man yesterday. I said, you ought to be hard on yourself. This year, be hard on yourself. Teach him how to break free from any trial, addiction, whatsoever that Satan has put on your life. As an embargo, I say, get hard on yourself. Stay with the word. Stay with the word. Don't stay small and run. Stay with the word of God. I say, that demon belief, that devil will stop existing in your life. I was teaching him. I told him, I said, see, I'm a master in raising weak men to becoming strong. I will never be ashamed of weak people around me. When I see weak people, I'm not ashamed of them. I say, get out of my front. You are too weak. I heard you did this. No. I'm a master. God has made me so. Because I knew I was not strong. When God called me. Are you listening to me? I was not strong. He said, come boldly into the throne of grace. Not so that you sit down and be saying, this throne of grace is final. He said, so that you may receive what? Mercies for your times of need. Are you listening to me? So grace is not something that makes you weak or vulnerable to the devil. Or grace is not something that when you fail God or you fail a lot of times in life, then you go and say, I receive grace. My sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven true. And now you have received capacity to go and to sin no more. When Jesus, this is the definition of grace. When that woman who committed adultery and was caught, when they were trying to stone her, they asked Jesus, they wanted to set him up. He said, who among you is without sin? Now, somebody was wondering that that's supposed to be an eternal way that life is supposed to be seen, in that every time people are gathered, everybody is with one sin. So when they quote that part of scripture, they will say, okay, who in this place is without sin? No, Jesus knew that those people did not have the provision the capacity to stop sin. It was not yet available because Jesus was not yet dead, buried, and what? Resurrection. The same Jesus spoke through Apostle Paul. Let's see it. Romans 6 and 7. We're going to read everyone. Romans 6 and 7. Before we come back here. Romans 6 and 7. The same Jesus spoke through Apostle Paul. Let's read together. For he who has what? Has been what? You're not reading it out. Give me the TPT rendition. And I want everybody to read it out. One, two, go. This is not how I want you to read it. One, two, read. This is the same Jesus speaking, that it is not possible for one to be dead with Christ and sin. But at that point, he told them, you Pharisees, you don't have revelation. Of course, maybe he didn't say it like this, but he understood it. Because before Jesus died, buried, and was resurrected, nobody, what was supposed to help people stop sin was not made available yet. It was in his death, burial, and resurrection that the provision came. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? It was not available at that time. That's why he told Peter, you can deny me 3 times. It's not about wishing not to deny me. You can wish not to sin, but you can still sin if you don't know Jesus. He said, you can only love me, 1 John 4. He said, you can only love me because I have first loved you. And what is love? If you love me, you will keep my word. You will keep my commandment. And at that time, it was not available because Jesus was not dead, buried, and resurrected. So he said, any of you that is without sin. He was sure all of them were in sin. He didn't care whether they had all the religious regalia. No matter the religious regalia, if you don't know Jesus, you are a sinner. Oh. I wish you get what I'm trying to say. You can put pastoral collar. If you don't understand Jesus, you will still sin. It is they that know me that will not continue in their sin, not they that wear white and white. You can wear white and white and be the chiefest of all sinners. The only provision to help us live above sin is the revelation of Jesus. Not even a church building. And none of them could go through, could come to the woman because they were all in sin. Jesus is God. He knew that they were in sin. Then what did he say to the woman? He said, woman, you don't have any accusers. Rise up. Rise up. In other words, it paints a picture. The reason why people will sin and still be on the ground is because of accusation of the enemy. Jesus asked her, where are your accusers, woman? Now the accuser of the brethren has been what? In other words, don't be down there because of your sin. Saying because of what I did, that's why I'm here. Where are your accusers? Jesus has removed any accuser on your head. Are you listening to me? When he asked her the question, he said, rise up, go, and what? Sin no more. That's the definition of grace. Satan has nothing against you because of the blood of Jesus. Satan has no claim of sin against you. No claim of guilt. You shouldn't feel any guilt. Go, your sins are forgiven. But he said something. Why he told her to go? He said, go and sin no more. Grace will not tell you and go. Grace will not tell you go. And when you sin, come back again. It says go. And as you are going, listen, sin no more. It is possible not to sin again. But you see, while you are yet a child, like I started in 1 John 2, you can still sin. While you are yet a child. But the supposed nature, 1 John 3, 9, is not supposed to sin. Are you listening to me? The supposed nature of a believer doesn't sin. Now, if you don't see life like this, you always keep on sinning. And as you keep on sinning, you give Satan the permission to destroy your lives. It's little by little. Delilah, she was just close to Samson. Samson was just close to Delilah. He was just thinking, he did it and he could still shake. And the anointing will come back. He was just having fun and playing. Because he could feed the anointing, he was still in his sin. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The fellowship of sin. Because anytime he does it and stands up, the anointing is stirred again. And he kept on playing with sin. He was playing with Delilah. He knew that according to his consecration, Delilah is not supposed to be the kind of woman he should marry. Are you listening to me? And one time, he did not know. He did not know when he said the truth. He thought he was joking with this woman. He was just having some fun. He was just playing. He didn't know when he came so low. He now said the truth, my hair. And when he said so, somehow, you know what could make a man that foolish? That you said the first one they came because of what he said, the second one they came, you still trusted her. What would make a man that foolish? How the mighty have fallen. You think you are so great or anointed, you cannot be foolish. Listen, you have to listen to instructions, listen to the Holy Spirit. Always stay with the Holy Ghost. Don't trust your last impact as a reason why you will not make a mistake again. After David killed Goliath, he still now killed a man. He did not only kill Goliath, he killed somebody's husband and slept with the wife. Can you imagine? Impacting the positive, impacting the negative. Peter that said you are the Christ that the Father spoke through. The same Peter denied Jesus 3 times. You see that? Don't leverage on your last impact. Man, I did that. Man, I'm good. And you keep on speaking about last impact. You have to be perpetually connected to the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, he set his hair and they cut off his hair. And what happened to Samson? He was gone. You see, as you keep on talking to that wrong boy, that boy that you know is not your husband, you think you are just playing. I'm just eating his money. You are not just eating his money. One day you wake up to realize that you are finished. It's not some joke. It's the truth. Now he's buying you iPhone. You know, when I was younger in the ministry, I didn't have so much discipline. And by that I mean, I could see something and just say it in the public. As a young prophet. One of those days, I was walking and I could tell. I said, you will die before this. And he said, are you a stupid boy? I said, thus says the Lord. That's what I see. And you know, I was even making a mistake because word of knowledge does not mean thus says the Lord. You are just seeing somebody's reality because of the seed they are sowing today. It doesn't mean God is saying they should die. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? I'll just say, this will happen. One time when I met a guy, I said, you are gay. You're gay. You got to repent. I'll just be talking. You know, I'm driving at a point. Do you know? If your eyes are open, and sometimes you interface with some of these ladies, you can tell that they are finished. I heard a man of God, he said, he was talking to one big guy and they were discussing how that he overheard some people somewhere saying that they've used all the guests in this town and he went to another town to look for a girl to use for money. Now, when he interfaced with a girl, he will see that they've used that one. And they are existing with phones and the rest, but they've been used. Now, somebody will be like, if you are born again in Christ, you understand new creation realities. That's another. You are not in this. Don't doubt what I'm saying. It's a spiritual reality in the world of darkness. It's not a reality in Christ. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But the Bible said the rot works upon the children of what? Disobedience. How many you all have been watching stories on Facebook how they've killed many ladies because of money? They are looking for money and they were killed eventually. How their life became useless because they would not listen. They would not listen. Some of them met pastors who prophesied to them. They did not listen. Some of them were in a service like this and they were told the truth. They did not listen. And all of a sudden, they made that terrible mistake. Years ago, I remember my sisters before they got married and the rest. We're joking in Kaduna. Years ago. About a guy that was sending them money at time. Two of them. They were like, see this mumu, mumu, mumu. So I overheard them. And I got into the room. I said, what are you people saying? They now try to hide their phones and the rest. I now saw the name. They save it as MTM, Mugu. That's this. They just save it in a very funny way. I had to call my mom for a meeting. And I told them, I said, what you are sowing? You think that person is a foolish person. The Bible says, what you sow, you reap. The day you reap this evil you are doing, it will blow your mind. You think you are wise. The Bible says, it says, trust in the Lord and lean not your own understanding. That there's a way that seemeth right to a man. But the end of it is what? Destruction. You are not using anybody. It's you they will finally use. Thank God they listened to me. It's you. Don't joke. The call of God is upon your life. You understand the grace of Jesus. But look at how you are chatting with that sister. Look at what you're talking with that sister. I mean, you're chatting with like 5 sisters, like 5 brothers, and the grace of God, the oil of God is upon your life. You're joking like Samson joked. And all of a sudden, you'll be so amazed that your hands are unchained. The Bible says the things that happen in the Old Testament are for our learning. Are you listening to me tonight? This year is going to be great, but listen, follow the word of God. Listen to the word of God. Wait upon the Lord. He's the maker of men. He's the lifter of men. Listen.
And let no pastor deceive you that God does not bless people. He blesses people. He can lift a man into high positions of authority. Daniel said it. He removes kings. He put kings. He gives wisdom. He gives understanding. When he wants to bring you into a new season, he can put you in a new position. He can give you the wisdom and understanding that entails for that new season. But you have to be really aligned. I said this year is the year of flight. But I told you what will precede this flight is what? Alignment with the Holy Ghost. Alignment. That's the principle. Stay in the secret place. It will seem like you are wasting your time. Dear brothers and sisters, you are not wasting your time. They that wait upon the Lord shall be like what? Eagles. They shall mount up wings as eagles. Mount up wings. Mount up wings. And I told you, eagles are always on the mountaintop. They were given birth to there. It may seem like they are being carried at the initial, but you cannot be carried for so long. I'm trying to make some of you understand that God wants you to be responsible for your life right now. Don't just rely on coming to church, the corporate anointing in the church. Now you ought to start praying. At least an hour every day. Start it and see what will happen to your life. Because when you begin to pray, the Holy Spirit is the one that takes the steering wheel of your prayer life. He begins to help you pray. The Bible says he helps us pray about the things we don't know how to pray about. He helps our infirmity in that he helps us pray about the things we don't know how to pray about. And the Bible said in 27 of Romans 8, it says somehow the Holy Spirit who understands the will of the Father prays for us according to the heart of the Father. And at the 28, he said, then all things begin to work together for our good. You see that? Meaning everything that has happened to you, pain and trouble and the rest, in 2026, it can work for your good because of alignment. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you just begin to wait upon the Lord, you begin to pray, you begin to speak the word of God, you begin to align with the principles of heaven. Listen, if you have people working in your house, you have like three maids, which one will you favor more? The one that does things anyhow or the one that does things according to what you say? Huh? If you are traveling, who will you put in charge of the house? The one that does their mind or the one that does what you tell them to do? What if the one that does their mind is more skillful and the one that does your mind is not as skillful as the one that does their mind? Who will you put in charge of the house? You see that? If you think like this, how about God that gave you this wisdom? A Christian who is devoted to God and a Christian who is not devoted to God, who will have less troubles? The one who is devoted to God. Who will have more troubles? The one that is not devoted to God. Because Satan, the Bible says, a man who does not have control over himself is like a city without walls. God did not create you so that you do anything that comes to your mind. I tell you the truth, I was speaking to a young man. If you want to end an addiction, it can end. Nobody should lie to you that an addiction can stay forever. It's not true. Don't feel like it's supposed to be normal. That anything that comes to your mind, you think. Anything that comes to your heart, you do. No. Don't you have the Holy Ghost? Yes, you do. Steer the Holy Ghost to action. Say, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. I refuse to be limited. Last scripture and we pray. Very fast. Colossians 3. But now you yourself are to put off all. He said, put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Next part of scripture. Put it off. Do not lie to one another. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Since you have put it off. You are not trying to put it off. Paul looked at his congregation. He said, you have put off the old man. You used to live there in verse 6. He said, but you are not living like them again. Are you listening to me? He said, since you are not living since this world is, you don't get your identity, take your identity from this world, but from heaven. And since you have put off the old man, take away anger, take away, go back to verse 8. Let me mention a few of them. There are many more beyond this. Take away what? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, any filthy language out of your mouth. So I refuse to be angry. Take it away. You know, one time I was driving. One time I was just driving. And somebody almost hit me. So I dodged. When I dodged. And I found out after a few minutes that I did not react. I said, Jesus Christ. I grew. I didn't even know that I've passed that level. Those days I may want to turn and follow you. And claim that I'm a military man and chose you. I just removed one of my ID card, maybe in the bags. I said, you bastard, lie down on the ground. Are you mad? You see, you almost hit me, blah, 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 blah. But I found out that I didn't get offended. I was still driving. I said, oh, Holy Ghost, I've grown. There's no longer anger. Hallelujah to Jesus. As you stay with the word of God, you don't know when you grow beyond some of these stupid things that happen in your life. Are you listening to me? You just grow beyond it. Malice, blasphemy, fitting language out of your mouth. Next part of scripture. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Don't lie. Paul was particular about even lying. Since you have put off, meaning you have a new nature. So start taking off the wrong things. Take it off from your life. Meaning you can look at anger. That's what Paul meant for when he said, mortify the desires of the flesh. Allow the spirit mortify the desires of the flesh. And that's what he meant when he was talking to Timothy. When he says in the great house are several vessels. If a man purges himself from the latter, he becomes a vessel what? Profitable for the master's use. This thing is so realistic. We can't be forming rubbish. You want to live a glorious life? Live a life of purity. And listen, you have everything it takes to support you living a life of what? Purity. You have everything. Everything from heaven that it will take for you to live a pure life. You don't lack anything. You are complete in Christ Jesus. Say amen. Amen. Next part of scripture, verse 10. Let's read together, everyone. It said, and I've put on what? The new man. Who is what? Renewed. In what? According to what? The new man is renewed in what? Knowledge. According to what? The image of him who created him. In the Greek, I was doing the study, and the word renewed there, I can't really remember the word, but it suggests like this, that if you truly understand yourself, as you get to understand yourself in Christ, you discover your potentials. More like, you never knew you could do this, then when you study the word of God, you saw it, then you bring it to manifestation. You study that you now have hand, and your hand can do this, you bring it to manifestation. You study, you saw that you can do this, you bring it into manifestation. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? It is renewed via what? Knowledge. According to the image. What knowledge? The knowledge of the image of him who created him. God is your actual reality. Are you listening to me? Not any standard in the world. Are you listening to me tonight? Do you believe me? What should it profit a man? God cannot be giving you money when you are living a sinful life. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? He will not. Be careful. God forbid, as I'm talking like this, I tell you the truth. It could be that somebody can die Tuesday if they are not hearing me next Tuesday. And it's like God is trying to save them from their death. I know what I'm telling you. As a prophet, I've seen plenty situations. I remember I was talking to somebody in my office, advising. Our brother was terribly sick. He wanted to join a cult and they beat him up or something. They were forcing him to join a cult. Came to me. Their only brother, all of them are girls. She's a firstborn. And while we're talking, she said, sir, I used to pray. She used to miss services. She said, I used to pray and the rest, blah, 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 blah. And my brother is not making progress. He's not changing. I said, bring the brother to me. But before you bring your brother, how do you even pray? Because, you know, I know that God answers prayer. The confidence we have is that when we pray, what? Answers. So I asked her, how do you even pray? Now, very funny question. She wanted to now explain how she prays. Then her phone rang. Then it was Davido's song that was the ringtone. Brother, you don't they do one thing. One thing, you don't they do one thing, fam. Now she says, Pastor, sorry, sir. She wanted to end it. I said, no, pick the call. I was trying to gather what to tell her. When she was done, I said, I found a solution, sister. Your problem is the kind of things you do. How can pure and impure water come out from the same stream? The same fountain? You want to release the word of God from your mouth and the words of Satan are flowing from your mouth? You sing worldly songs and you want to release the power of the Holy Ghost? I said it is not possible. You see, as I'm saying it direct, that's how I'll say it anyway. You can never make progress with God when you listen to worldly songs. You can never quote me anywhere. Many people don't want to enjoy this peace that God has given them. The Bible says the life of the spirit is full of, it says in the book of Romans 8 and 6, let's quote it together.
Romans 8 and 6. Just put it up for me. Want to go? For to be carnally minded is dead, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and what? Peace. Real life is in the spirit. Real peace is in the spirit. You know what that means? Remember my message, beyond worries to kingdom. If you mount up wings as eagles, if you become who God wants you to become, I tell you, it is a solution for even generations yet unborn. You can chart a course for your children's children and they will follow. That's why we say Jacob will say this, the son of Isaac, the son of this, he will now go to Abraham. Whatever God did with Abraham followed all of his children. Look at today, look at Israel. One small nation somewhere, nobody can fall them down. They think they are so wise. They didn't know that years ago, a man had a covenant with God, stayed with God, and bettered them till today. Nobody can put those people down. You can say anything, they have nuclear power. It is because of the blessing upon them that has empowered them to become this. The brains Israelites have are the same kind of brain Nigerians have. But you see, those people are so conscious. Till today, they read their Torah. They are very conscious of the blessing of Abraham. Do you know in Israel, they have a problem there. In that they even prefer Abraham than Jesus. I'm telling you the truth. If you call Jesus, there's a problem. Meanwhile, it's not supposed to be like that. They believe that what they told them about Jesus was true. They stole his body. That one lie is what they are still believing in now. But they are conscious of what the covenant and the blessings of their father Abraham. They will quote it before war. Quote it before any trouble. They will enter into what's quoting the blessing upon them. Are you listening to me? And look at what is happening to them till today. If you truly understand your place in Christ, a lot of problems are solved. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing as I want. There is nothing in this world. Nothing. You believe that part of scripture, you have to act like it. If the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. He makes me to lie down. Oh, how beautiful is that psalm, said by David. Let's see it in the TPT rendition. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, the God Almighty is the one that lords over me. Anything he wants me to do, meaning God is the one leading me. I'm following God everywhere. Everywhere. He said, if the Lord is my shepherd, if the Lord is the one that directs my life, he said, then there is nothing I shall want in this life. Because he will cause me to what? Lie down in green pastures. He will lead me to the place of advantage. As I'm following him, it may seem like I'm not having any. I'm just going to where I don't know, but I'm going to the places of advantage. The Bible said the lines are drawn to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a godly heritage. Anywhere there's advantage, I'll end up there. Why? The Lord is my shepherd. He took Abraham to a land there was nobody. Look at Abraham today. Look at whatever Abraham did in that land. Glory to God forevermore. I was reading a story in Genesis 23 about Jacob, Rehoboth. I don't know if you remember that word. How that he went, they pursued him from a particular land. Then he now went, was it Isaac or Jacob? Isaac, yes. He now went to where his father Abraham dug wells. And just old wells. He started redigging the wells. When he dug one and saw whatsoever, they came and collected it. He dug another one, he saw whatsoever, they came and seized it. Then the last one he went, then I said, okay, that one is out. Just carry that one. We leave you with that one. That one that he was digging now had everything he needed to start a new nation. All the resources he will ever want on the strength of that well that he dug. All of a sudden, now if you look at it critically, I was listening to a pastor. He said something very profound. He said, how can well make a nation bless? But as long as Isaac saw water, he said, it is finished. I have water, I can plant anything to grow. Because I am blessing conscious. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to say. Mother Teresa, she said something before she died. She said, with 5 loaves and a powerful heart, a heart on fire, I can change the world. With 5 loaves of bread. Your 5 loaves of bread will be enough for the 5,000 if your heart is right. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? It will be enough. Tell somebody, be blessing conscious. Be blessing conscious. All of a sudden, Isaac became very rich again. Just with a well. You have more than a well. You have a house. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You have a place you can even sit down and relax and write some of your ideas. This guy started his life with a well.
As long as he saw a well, he said, no, as long as I have water, I can build. As long as I have water, I can plant something. As long as I have water. What you have is enough. Jesus was never in a situation where something was not enough. When there were many people, he said, let's feed them. They said, Master, we didn't plan for that. He said, what do we have? They said, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. He said, bring them here. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When he thanked the Lord, what happened? It multiplied. You know, somehow if you look at that part of scripture, you just summarize it like this. If you have the right mindset, if you have a good heart, the right mindset, things will multiply around you. Because instead of complaining, he what? He thanked God. If you remember the parable of the talent, the story of the talent, Jesus told the one that did not multiply his talent, say, you are a wicked person. What is the connection between keeping your talent for you and giving you back and wickedness? If you check it critically, it's a posture of that person's heart. More like, this thing is not enough, so I kept it. You gave people 2 and 3. Me, you gave me 1. Take your thing back. I don't know that people are getting what I'm trying to say. Do you catch what I'm trying to explain to you? If you appreciate God in any situation, for his finger, you see his hand. There are many people that have not they've not begun to acknowledge that God is the one working in their life. They think they are the one figuring out everything happening in their life. So they've not started being grateful to God. That's why they are not seeing change in their lives yet. They never let down and told God, thank you. God, thank you for this. God, thank you for that. That's why they are not seeing any massive change in their life. I heard a pastor, very funny story. I started laughing and praying in the spirit afterwards. He said, the first time he entered the plane, I don't think I'll be able to do that. Maybe I'll do my own more codedly. He said, when he entered the plane, his mother used to sell granite, he said, in the market. The first time he entered the plane to the UK, he said, when he entered the plane, they told him where was his seat. They said the seat was at the back, close to the toilet. He said, no problem. He went and knelt down and started singing Igbo songs. And he's an Igbo pastor, thanking God, crying and thanking God that he entered plane. He said, people were now telling him, shift, we want to pass and go to... He said, no problem. He now shifted and continued thanking God. He said, he does not care about the shame. That when he landed UK, he said, me, son of a woman that sells granite in UK. As he's, before he landed in his house, they entered train. He said, train? Me, train. This kind of train. I've not entered the bad one before. He entered the train. He now knelt there again on his seat. The wife was now saying, honey, you are embarrassing me. When we get home, he said, no. Feel embarrassed. You don't know the kind of man you have married, though. He said, if God was not embarrassed about blessing me, I'll not be embarrassed about praising him. God was not ashamed of blessing me. I'll not be ashamed of... I learned something there so powerful. I remember I lifted my hands and I prayed in the spirit. He began to thank God. The wife just sat down there. You know, imagine yourself. Maybe she was even more enlightened than him. She just sat down there, was watching her husband, her dear beloved husband, pulling her steeds down. But no, today he's the one carrying his wife everywhere, to every part of the world. Why? Because he had a grateful heart. But there are many people who don't prove it to God. They don't show God that, like, he was the one that did the last miracle. They take testimony so casual. They even choose when to tell their testimonies. Well, I'll tell the testimony in September, because I'm expecting something else. You've not acknowledged God's hand yet. You are waiting for September. They are a big boy. And before, they used to give testimonies every day. I want to thank God. Now they have seen the letter. They called me for interview before they even got the job. I want to thank God. They say the interview will be on Monday. I want to thank God. We did the interview. They were smiling with me. They've not got the job. Hey, I want to thank God. I got the job. Oh, hey, I want to thank God. Now the job is now, you know, they are now looking push. The job has made them. So promotions are coming. Come and thank God. I will find a good day and come and thank God. They are now big boys and big girls. You are joking with fire. You have to make God understand that he is the author and the finisher. He is the Alpha and Omega. And everything in between, he is the one. Act like it. Talk like it. Live like it. When Israelites were about to be stubborn to Moses, because they gave for the ark of the covenant, God appeared and spoke to them through the ministry of an angel. He said, listen, I am the Lord God that what? Empowered you to prosper. And the picture God is painting there is that when we wanted to do the ark, I empowered you people because of the ark. So whatever you are able to give for the ark was because of my hand upon you. It was solely for the ark, even though it prospered you and your family. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. There are some people that have a heart for God. They are so much into God. They are so much for God. And from their little, they give to God. The reason why God will bless them is not because He wants to just bless their families and the rest. He has seen that this person has a heart for Him. So He will give this person so that this person can give to Him. But you see, as the person is giving to Him, the person has so much that he can do anything around his life. That's why He said, if you seek first my... He said, every other good thing around that you need to solve, I will give you the resources to solve it. Are you learning something now? This is how you should think in 2026. Never come to that point you are thinking, God, blah, blah, blah. No. It's the Lord God that gives you the ability to make wealth. In the wilderness, people had the money to pay for the Ark of the Covenant. It's God. The tabernacle, it was only God. Only God can do that. There was no buying and selling with other nations. Only within themselves. And they could do that. That can only be God. In this Makodi, you have a shop. That can only be God. In this Makodi, you are earning over 500K. That can only be God. For some of you, they are earning. And we are saying that how to know God can do it in your life is that He has done it in your neighbor's life. If He has done it in somebody close to you, He can do it in your life. There's a saying that says, if God has done something to your neighbor, He's within the neighborhood. Don't start envying the neighbor. Kneel down and say, God, you are around us. I've seen what you have done. It's my turn now. It's my turn now. Not that you're envious. Sometimes you can go to the neighbor and say, neighbor, I've seen what God has done for you. I just want to just sow this seed into your life. As an acknowledgement that I know it was God. And that the God that did it for you, He will do it for me. And you go. But the neighbor is the one that got a job. Why should I sow a seed? It's a seed of faith. Say, take. Are you listening to me? This is how to become, this is how to walk in favor. The Bible says, favor is encamped around the righteous as a canopy. This is what it means. This is what it means. You cannot be doing anyhow like you are not the righteous, unconscious of yourself as the righteous, and expect favor. Look at what I've been saying. If you live like this, why will you not be favored? You know how to greet people and talk to people nicely. You reply greetings well. Why will you not be favored? Go and check your WhatsApp. Which people are you not replying? They are the ones that you think cannot give you money. All the ones that can give you money, their reply is, just 5 seconds you have replied. You are deceiving yourself. And God cannot be mocked. What a man he reaps. If you are here, you know me. That anybody that messaged me, whether you are the least person in this church, I must find time to call you or reply you. I'm not doing that because the person can give me money or something. No. You know, a lot of times people are going through a lot. And just one word from you can just make them feel super excited. One word from you can just make them believe in themselves. You know, I had this lady that always called me. She would send me voice note on Facebook. Sir, I'm your daughter. I don't know. You don't know me. I'm not around. But you are always going to be my father. I love you. She would say plenty voice notes. So I would just listen to it and be laughing. One day I said, drop your number. I want to call you. Say, scream it. I said, I called her. See, my daddy has called me. My daddy. I knew what that would do to our soul. Very small lady. I don't know how she got to know about me. Hallelujah to Jesus. The Bible said, let your words be seasoned with salt, that it may minister what? Grace. Be mindful of your words. Be mindful. You started school with a young man. And now you are earning over 400 and 500,000. And he told you he's in a cafe, just managing a cafe, collecting 20,000. And you are like, now wow. Not be you again. Then instead of relating to that person, you are coming out to give testimony. I spoke with one of my friend in school. You know, they thought that they were better than us. But look at us today. That's a child speaking. If I was in that church, that testimony would end immediately. You don't talk like that. You relate. The Bible says we don't have a Savior that is ignorant of the feelings of our infirmity. You make them. That's how people touch God. Not by all those foolish boasting. Sir, my brother, don't worry. The joy is not about power or might. It's by the Spirit. You have started quoting scripture. Whether it's a Muslim, he will listen to you. Say, don't worry. God will do something massive in your life. I prayed for a Muslim friend like that one time. I said, don't worry. God will change your story. Now imagine God changes that guy's story. Is it me that will tell him to be born again? I did not introduce him and say, I want to read. No, I said, don't worry. When he complained, I was able to do something little. And I said, don't worry. God will change your story. He said, sir, I'm applying for a job. You know, you could just see how vulnerable they are. my classmate that we played together, and now just because of, yes sir, sir, yes sir, yes sir. I was feeling quite embarrassed. I said, don't worry, God is going to change your story. If I'm your classmate and you, I'm your brother, I declare that this job that you just applied, say UN, whatever job, I said, you get that job. I told him, me, I'm promising you for God, you get the job. God has given you the job. Now, imagine he's yet to go for the interview. He comes back and tells me, sir, God has given me the job. You think I'll be the one to say, okay, will you want to? He will be the one to ask me, how can I receive this Jesus? Are you listening to me? It's just strategy. How can I receive this Jesus? And I will not hesitate. Jesus is the only way. I will lead him to Christ. The tale of what I'm trying to say is that everything you need for life and godliness is in Christ Jesus. See the advantage of the anointing. Having a blessing consciousness or the anointing working in your life. Look at it now. This man is now anointed. He's blessed. He may not have all the money yet, but he's empowered for the money. The blessing maker, he has what it takes to be rich. Like I told you, Isaac just got one well that can give him water. He said, no problem. I'm ready for impact. Because of the blessing, he can, anywhere he is, whatever he has is enough. You see, with the blessing, anything you hold is enough. And this young man, now, he has solved his financial problem yet, for instance. But because he is blessed and anointed, somebody is sick in his house. His mother is sick. You that only pursued money don't have what it takes. You can try and bring all the doctors in the world. He's trying his best to bring doctors. He's not foolish because he has the money. And he finds out that this thing is not making progress. Then he remembers that he's a blessed man. He's anointed. And he said, excuse me for a moment. He lays hands on his wife or on his mom or anybody that was sick and say, in the name of Jesus, be made whole. And the child or the mother or whatsoever becomes whole immediately. You know, I heard a man sounding so vulnerable. He said, I brought all the doctors in the world, the best doctors, yet my brother died. I hit my table. I said, there's something you don't know yet. It's called the anointing of the Holy Ghost. There are many things that money cannot solve. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Money is too overrated. Money is not everything. It's good, though. I'm not telling you money is evil. Money is very good. But money is not everything that you need. All that you need for life and godliness is Christ Jesus. Salvation does not come in bits. Salvation comes as a whole. Soteria sozo. It means to be wholly made perfect. Look at it. What did Adam lose in Eden? The day Adam lost touch with God, he lost all the riches of Eden. The day you come back in contact with God, all the riches of Eden comes back to you. Immediately. It may not be in manifestation yet, but with time, you will see it manifest. So you see, now he can have the money. But the advantage for us, the other guys are having the money. But what is the advantage for us? The blessing maketh rich and adds no sorrow. Well, the advantage is that there is no sorrow in our lives. Listen, brother, don't joke with the anointing. No. Be super anointed. Be super anointed. I was given an instance the other day. Just for you to learn, we went to buy a land. And one of my pastors, he wants to buy some land, 5 plots of land. And he called me to come and see. Just to see it. I don't even know why. But when I got there, I saw 2 people and we shook our hands. Truly, I didn't see if they were bad people or good people. We just shook our hands, but I felt some kind of little current from one of them. But I didn't really take it serious. And so I decided to be at the back of the person. They observed that I was very sure that some of them wondered, why would pastor be at the back of the person leading us to go and show land? I just wanted to follow him at his back because of the little observation I have yet. And they were all at my back. And that's not how it's supposed to be. They're supposed to be at the front. And while we're coming back, and the person began to say he's feeling some kind of unnecessary heat he has never felt before. And he asked the question, is this man a pastor? And they all replied, that's our pastor, it's our father. And while we're going, he said, some kind of heat is happening to him. You know, how can I shake you and you're feeling heat instead of feeling the heat to go away? You're sweating too much instead of the sweat to go away. Am I supposed to be a curse or a blessing? And I said, something is wrong somewhere. So when he said we should pray for him, I told myself, I'm not going to pray for him. Immediately we got to the car, I just drove off. And we drove off. And somehow when we're in the house, I felt this fair level of unrest. I said, something is wrong somewhere. I began to tell them, he was involved, Pastor Ed was involved. I said, you people should make findings about this land. When they did all their findings, they found out that land has been sold to like 2 people already. and Pastor I was going to be the third person they are selling that land to. And that's the same person with his strategy. So when they shake you, your brain goes. But when I shook him, his own brain went. The thing broke. Now listen, if you were not anointed and you had only money, you'd have lost the money. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? The blessing may get rich. It adds no one bit of sorrow. You have all the money and none of your money is wasted. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. Surely goodness and mercy shall haunt me. Oh, the only goodness and mercy. He started. Let's read it again. Let's read it. I want us to end with this scripture. Let's read it. One, two, go. David's poetic praise to God. The Lord is my word. Best friend. And my word. I always have more than. Always, brother. Always. Next part of scripture. Want to read. He offers a resting place for me. In his tracks take me to an oasis of peace. The quiet brook of bliss. Many of you have, if you have carried ships before, you are not full, and so you know. Sometimes you get to places that are closer to streams, and they are very cool. So that's that kind of places that God leads us to. Fresh leaf, fresh atmosphere. We just sit there and we are resting our souls. It says it calls it oasis of love, brook of bliss. Next part of scripture, verse 3. It says that's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along in his word. So that I can bring honor to his name. Next part of scripture. Oh, glory to God. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me. Why? For you already did. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength. You see the anointing here? He said, your authority is my strength. When you understand your place in Christ, it becomes your strength. You are not afraid of anybody. Your authority is my strength. And my peace. You see, authority becomes strength. What does authority become again? Peace. Why will mommy not die? The strength is your authority in Christ. My mother will not die. Just give me some time, like Daniel said. King, don't punish anybody that you cannot find a solution. Give me one night. I want to pray, King. And when Daniel finished praying, a solution busted out. Your authority is my strength. They said, secret place, you are joking with it. That's where your strength lies. When money fails, you pull out something. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? What you win with is the track record of your obedience to the secret place. Let me show you something. Do you know that the stones that David used to kill Goliath were not special stones? Do you know that the arrow, whatever he used, that bow, what do they call it? It was not something special. He did not look for it because of Goliath. It was what David has been using to kill lions and bears. That he carried. He just carried stone anywhere. The same stone he has used to kill them before. He carried and killed Goliath. He said, I have a track record. While I was taking care of my father's sheep, I killed bears, I killed lions, and right now I'm going to kill you. I'll pluck off your head. And the same way he has been talking before is the way he's talking right now. He told Goliath, you uncircumcised Philistine, that you can learn something. That's how David has been seeing lions. You people don't have the capacity. Maybe he used to call them some other names, but they don't have the capacity. With this kind of psalms, how do you expect David to think of dying? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? David never thought of dying. See, don't think of dying in a wrong situation. Never imagine yourself dying in accidents. So I may die in an accident. No, you will never die in an accident. It's an established reality. It is not your expectation. They do not ask you some emotional question. The people that die, are you better than them? We are never better than them. But what will guide you is your revelation. Mount up your revelation. Mount it up. Mount up wings. The strength of an eagle is in his what? Wings. Mount up wings as eagles. You will mount up wings. While you are waiting, you are mounting up strength. You are mounting up strength. As you are playing with those lights in your secret place. As you are talking them. You are mounting up strength. Wings as eagles. Everybody is scared when there is trouble. Only an eagle is not scared. In fact, the eagle, according to my studies, the eagle expects, is praying for troubles. Little wonder the Bible says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Meaning when you see trouble, start getting excited. Because you are like an eagle. It's time to soar. I did not say fly, I say soar. Because they will just flap their wing, Take advantage of the storm. Take advantage of the wind. And just be going in one direction. As the wind is becoming more bad, they are getting excited because they are finding more stability. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Count it all joy. When you fall into diverse temptation, count it all joy. Get excited. Get excited. Don't cry. Don't cry. Get excited. Count it all joy. I lost the job. Count it all joy. You lost a job. Can you lose a job? A whole you? His authority is your strength. His authority is your peace. I'm not who I am. I can never lose any job. He said, the comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. I can never lose a job. I can never. If it seems like I lost, it was strategy for a bigger one. If you don't expect it, it will not happen. Because it is the expectation of the righteous that are not cut short, not the problems of the righteous. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You must, the knowledge now becomes your expectation. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I expect new job. And it comes. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. If you've ever lost a job, I'll prophesy. Right now, a bigger and a better one, you are receiving in the name of Jesus. Now that you have been preparing, and I've been learning skills at the tail of 2025 into 2026, you are not wasting your time. You are mounting up wings. A time will come. You have 5 options of jobs. You will not know which one to pick. You are too capacitated. 5 of them are dragging you. Keep on building. You are not wasting your time. It is better to prepare and not have a job yet, or an opportunity yet, than not to prepare and an opportunity will not come. Just prepare. Just prepare. Faith without work is dead. If it's your year of flight, prepare for the flight. As the spirit out of body is there, so is faith without work. Meaning, if you don't take actions of faith, you are wasting your time. Lord, you say it's my year of flight. I want to fly this year. So on the strength of that, I'm learning 2 courses for the flight. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And you begin to learn. And you are praying in the spirit. Now, people are complaining January, February, March. At March, you are finished learning. You are prepared for a flight. People are complaining at April, you are finished learning. You are prepared. Before you even finish learning, a flight overtakes you. You are just on your own. Somebody put something on their status. They are looking for a data analyst. Pay 500K. And your eyes are open. You apply like a joke and get the job like a joke. And sometimes you apply and they ask you, where have you been? You mean you have this thing? They ask one of my friends, you have this kind of skill in Makodi? In Makodi? What are you doing in that place? I heard of a lady in Pastor Peter's department recently that just learned data analysis. She just came to school with this university here. I heard she even got a job already. I asked myself, when did this girl come to this church? As we're talking about this thing, before you know, she started learning. Why people are thinking of when to start learning? She started learning. She attended Petra, our ICT center. And I was so shocked. Donna was telling me yesterday that she got a job already. I said, Jesus Christ. Now there are some that have been hearing me for like 2 years. And they are waiting for when to start. This one just came from one location we don't know. She has finished school. She attended church. She has come back to our location. But she took something from us. We have the people that can train people. She went and registered. She learned. Before she finished school, this school have not given her a certificate, but she has gotten a job. School have not given you a certificate. You left it a job. You see that? Where preparation meets opportunity. Who told you that your prosperity is in Tinubu's hand? He said, I've given you everything it will take for what? Life and godliness. Listen, the day God created you, the kind of your destiny has nothing to do with your location or your country. He did not say, if because of Nigeria and in 2026 you will not do well because there's a leader. But after the leader died, in the year that King Uzziah died, my eyes were, oh, that rubbish, whatever. Mumu interpretation. If you look at that scripture, it was just a coincidence that they were trying to, the guy was trying to explain when something happened in his life. He did not say that King Uzziah's death was the reason. Take for instance, I lost my spiritual father in 2015. In 2015, when my spiritual father died, then after it, I got a job with. So is it my spiritual father's death that brought the job? That's how that scripture is. People are thinking that somebody needs to die for your eyes to be open. What rubbish. The Holy Spirit is in you for your eyes to be open. And you are filled with the Holy Ghost. And your eyes are open. Say, my eyes are open. In the name of Jesus. And this year is mine. In the name of Jesus. Be on your feet and pray in the spirit. Lift up your voices and pray. Just pray. Pray. We've come to the end of the service. I want your voices out. Alright. Don't pray this Akamu Akamu prayer. Open your mouth. And pray. Don't pray with this. Or you suffer with this. Open your mouth and pray out. I can hear you, church. Everybody, lift up your voices and pray. It's time for a flight. Om manana maya no sana baye pakara to si bara de arosa. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, kabaya da baya ba. Holy Spirit. I have you, yeah. You have open minds. Paragaya. You have open minds. Shabakota Savaya. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. La Pakata Yabaya. You who guide me in all things. You who guide me, Holy Spirit, lift your voices and pray. Holy Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, Shabagada Bayakabaya. Holy Spirit. You have open minds. Woo! You have open minds. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You who guide me in all things. You who guide me. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Shabako Sabaya, Holy Spirit, oh Rabaka Baba 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 Baba. La paka sota pala kabaya kabora gabaya. Lera na bo shaka baba baya. Lera bo. Shera baya gora na baya na baya gora baya baba 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 baba. Bara kaba baba 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 bara kaba baya kaba baya kaba baya kaba baba baba bara kaba baba baba baya. Onda kaba shane kaba tega pele kade baya, rekade pele kaba baba baba baba. Jesus. I want to teach us how to pray. Everyone, close your eyes and pray in the Holy Ghost. Make sure your eyes are closed. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in your understanding. Just make sure your eyes are closed everywhere. Concentrate on the Holy Ghost. And pray. Make sure your eyes are closed. La ba ka ba 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 ya. Pray in the Spirit. Pray. Shabakata la ba 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 ya. Rakata la ba ya kota ba liya kabala gaba. In me. It's working in me. In me. Baraka ba 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 ba. In me. Your word is working in me. Rapaka ba 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 ba. Go ahead and pray. Lord, I believe the power of your word. Makata Shabaya. I believe in the spirit of your word. Maragabaya. Lord, I believe the power of your word. Makabaraka babababaya. Rabagabababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababab
change. Your word will say, barakabababababa. Your word delivers and break every chain. Your word will say,
I'm sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.